I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, in the Bible, the Old Testament, Psalm 136, page 920 in the Old Testament, in the Pew Bibles, Psalm 136. I read in your hearing earlier the first four verses of that psalm, but it is my desire and my intention to read the other verses that comprise this beautiful psalm of 26 verses. And this is my pre-Thanksgiving sermon, I guess you could say. The title I've given the sermon is simply three words. Thank you, Lord. I love those words. Thank you, Lord. I always say that the Lord's done something special and wonderful for us. And those are just words of thank you. This is what's called a hallelujah psalm. And by that, I understand it means that it is a song or psalm of praise to God. That's what this psalm is all about. It's giving God praise, expressing thanks and gratitude for the manifold blessings of the Almighty. And so it seems very appropriate, at least in my heart and mind, for us to look at today on this Sunday prior to our Thanksgiving Day. I do forget things, especially things I learned in school a long time ago. I did not remember just when Thanksgiving Day began, so I had to Google it and go back and read it again. But it was November the 26th of 1621, according to what I've written down. And that was a long time ago. The Pilgrims had settled at Plymouth, and it was the first fall or harvest crop, and they gathered with some Indians or Native Americans and had a three-day celebration. It started on the 26th. I think there was the account I read said there were about 90 Indians there. About 53 of the pilgrims who were involved in that service. But that's where our Thanksgiving celebration began, as I understand it. And so it's very appropriate that we look at something in the Bible today about Thanksgiving and giving God thanks as we anticipate this coming Thursday being our Thanksgiving day. And, of course, the Lord willing, we are hoping that our very immediate family will be able to join us and we can be with them and have a meal together. But please notice in this 136th psalm that the first three verses begin with these words, "Oh, give thanks." It says, first of all, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." I think we'd all agree with that. And then he says, the reason he's good, "For his mercy endureth forever." This is about the mercy of God. He is a loving God. He is a gracious God. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, he is a merciful God. I love those words the Apostle Paul was inspired of God to write when he said Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, that God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. So the love and grace and the mercy of God are all dealt with there in those two verses in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. So God is a merciful God because God is rich in mercy. And when we talk about someone being rich, we are talking about to have a great abundance of worldly goods. And so when it says God is rich in mercy, it means God has a great, a superabundance of his mercy that is extended to us every single day. The second verse says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord," or unto the God of gods. Now, you know, the first one is capitalized, and the second is not. So There are many so-called gods that are worshipped by people in this world. I'm amazed sometimes at what people will worship. But there are a lot of gods in this world that are worshipped by men. But our God, brothers and sisters, is the God over and above all the other gods. Third verse says, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. There are lords among men, but this, he is Lord of lords. Again, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, why did the psalmist three times tell them and us through this scripture passage that we are to give thanks unto God or to the Lord? Well, the fourth verse I read earlier also says, to him who alone doeth great wonders for his mercy endureth forever. Now, you're going to notice as we read this, and I know that I called this to your attention at an earlier time, but you'll notice that of all 26 verses in this 136th Psalm, every single one concludes, every verse concludes with these words, for his mercy endureth forever. Again and again we're reminded of that. Now, the psalmist wanted the people of his day to be aware of reasons why they ought to give thanks to God or to the Lord. And he said, he's the one who's done great wonders. Then he proceeds to call some of those great events to the attention of the people of his day. And I hope they'll serve to do that for us today. First of all, they were to give thanks to God, and we are to give thanks to God because he has created the world, the universe. God created it all. He spoke it into existence in the beginning. The Bible says God created the heaven and the earth. The first words of the Bible are those words. Now listen to verses 5 through 9. We give thanks to him because to him that by wisdom made the heavens for his mercy endureth forever, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters for his mercy endureth forever, to him that made great lights for his mercy endureth forever, the sun to rule by day for his mercy endureth forever, the moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. And so the psalmist is saying to all who hear these words or read these words, here is just a part of the reason we are to give thanks to God. The second reason he gave them, and we need to be reminded of this as well, is that God is to be thanked because he is the one who delivered the Jews from Egypt's bondage. So they were held there as slaves for many, many years, wasted in some ways in their strength. But then God delivered them. Verses 10 through 15 says, to him, God, that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever, to him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. So God is to be thanked that he delivered the children of Israel from Egypt's bondage. The third thing he reminds them and us to be thankful for is that God not only delivered them out of Egypt's bondage, but he gave them the land of promise. And he did that by driving out various kings and people who occupied some of those lands. So we are told, to him, verse 16, which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever, to him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever, Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever, even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. That's the third reason that we are to give thanks to God. Now the fourth one, the final one that he mentions in this psalm, is comprised of verses 23 through 25, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. And then he comes back again, one more time, the fourth time, in the last verse, the 26th verse, to say once more, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, brothers and sisters, I think we'll all agree that those are some great reasons for thanking God, giving thanks to him, praising his holy name. But I want us to think about us today for a little while now, kind of giving you the historical aspect of it and what it meant to the Jews of old and some of what ought to be true for us today. But there are some things that I want to call to your attention today. Since he has said four reasons there to thank God, I want to give you four reasons today why I think we ought to be especially thankful to God on Thanksgiving Day. Now, I know that probably, if not here somewhere, there will be people who will say, well, I just don't think I'll give God any thanks on this Thanksgiving Day. You know, the world's kind of in a mess. This coronavirus is still out there going around, and folks are still getting sick, and some people are still dying, and I just don't see why we ought to thank God on this Thanksgiving Day. But I'm going to tell you, my brothers and sisters, more than ever before, maybe we ought to thank God, because we are not numbered among those who have it. We are not those who have passed from this life and the scenes of this life because of it. We're still here and still doing reasonably well and going on in life. And all the millions upon millions and maybe innumerable in our minds of people across the face of the earth that are still doing well, we all have reason to say, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Now, here's the four reasons. I will start at my perceived evaluation of importance. First of all, I want to tell you the greatest reason we ought to give thanks to God is our salvation. There is no other blessing that we have or ever will have as great as the blessing of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. You remember Romans 6, 26 said, or 23 said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life, every other blessing that I will take time to mention to you today are all temporal blessings. Blessings having to do for time as we know it, but salvation is an eternal blessing. We have been saved by God's amazing grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. God chose us before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1:4. Wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, according to the Book of Revelation. And sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins, for all God's elect, all who are given to Christ in the covenant of redemption, whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, who will one day be in heaven's glory world. Because God sent his Son into the world to die for our sins and to pay a debt you and I could not pay. And so it's eternal life. It's eternal duration. is something that will, no matter what happens to us in this high world, it is ours forever and ever. And Satan can't do anything to overthrow it. He may overthrow us on a daily basis. We may encounter things that obstacles he puts in our way we can't seem to get around. We don't know how to evade. And Satan will often resist us and tempt us. But I tell you, when it comes to heaven and salvation and glory, Satan can't do anything to stop that. So we ought to be thankful to God above every other blessing in our life that we have been saved. When God saved us, when God sent his son Jesus to die for us, he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And there's no redemption without shedding of blood. That's what the law tells us. Hebrews 11:26, I believe it is. We are also made aware that it is by his death. See, the wages of sin is what? It's death. And he died for our sins. So, death. Christ died for us. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and he rose again quickly according to the Scriptures. Oh, what a blessed hope. And if that was the only blessing you could count on this coming Thanksgiving Day, we would still owe him an immeasurable debt of thanks and gratitude. But there are other blessings that are great. I number the second greatest blessing that any of us have, the blessing of our family and our loved ones. I know all of us have loved ones that's gone ahead of us. And we will one day go ahead of other loved ones. That's the course of time. That's the way life is. But we have loved ones still with us. And we are to be thankful to God for those loved ones. And I say it publicly. I say it to my wife often. I don't know what in the world I'd do without them. God was so good to me when he sent her into my life. I'm not the only man that feels that way. I'm sure the husbands of all you ladies that are here, any of you, your husband will say, amen, brother. I feel the same way. And your wife, you probably feel that way about your husband. Hope you do anyway. I hope we all feel that way about husbands and wives. A blessing from Almighty God that has enriched our lives in more ways than we can count. What a blessing to have loved ones with us. Van and I have talked a lot in these recent weeks and months how thankful we are that we still have each other, because I do know there are a lot of people who do not still have their companions, and they're greatly missed. And while we're sitting in the house, we can talk. But, you know, if it was just one of us alone, it'd be mighty lonely at times. So to have family, to have a spouse, to have children, our children are priceless to us too, aren't they? Nobody can take their place. Nobody's quite like them. Thank God for our children. And grandchildren. Got two children, two grandchildren. Don't have any great-grands yet. But I guess in time, the Lord willing, we shall. Family is a great blessing. It really is. You know, not just your natural family is something to be thankful for, but your spiritual family too. You ever thought about that? When the Bible talks about us as brothers and sisters, that's not trivial. That's significant. Because when Jesus taught us to pray, how did he teach us to pray? Matthew 6:9. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He says to call God, this great creator, this great God who has blessed so many for so long. He is our Father which is in heaven, and every other saved person, regardless of what church or denomination, or where they are on this earth, every one of the redeemed of God, they are brothers and our sisters in the great family of God. In fact, Paul said in Romans 9:26, we are the children of the living God. Our God's alive. Our Heavenly Father is alive. Our Savior is alive. And we've not only got a natural family, we got a spiritual family. And I'll be honest, I said this before to other people. I'm closer to many in the spiritual family of God than I am to some of my natural kin. Because those of us who love God, believe in Christ, and have a hope in Him, there is a bond that ties us together. And if you have a family member somewhere who doesn't, then you just don't have that bond with them. So what a blessing that on Thanksgiving Day we say, thank you, Lord, for all my family. For my natural family and for my spiritual family. Third great blessing, friends. Friends. You know what the Bible says about a friend? I'm not talking about somebody who might say that, you know, you're their friend and then they forget about you. I'm talking about real friends. I'm talking about biblically defined friends. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend, a real friend, a true friend, will never stop loving you. You make mistakes. They won't always agree with you, but they still love you. You might say something that wounds their heart, but they'll still love you. If they're true friends and they have that genuine love in their heart for you, they will keep loving you no matter how you change through the age. You can be a great need one day and the next year you're broke. They'll still love you. They'll love you when you're young. They'll love you when you're old. Friend loves us at all times. And you remember this time, the greatest friend we have is Jesus. You remember what the Bible says? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. And that's John 15:13. So think about your friends. People you've known, maybe some of you went to school with. I don't have many friends. Well, I guess, really, I don't have any close friends of people that I went to school with. Because the Lord called me into the ministry not very many years after I graduated. And as I began to pastor, I began to move various church and city. And I got away, and the ties were broken. There's some that still welcome me in their home today, and I would welcome them in mine. And occasionally, we have gotten together and see each other on some rare occasion. We're always glad to see each other. Because you see, a friend loves at all times. The greatest friend we have is Jesus. And we can thank God for every friend. Whether it's a brother or sister in Christ, whether it's a family member, whether it's somebody you went to school with, or whatever, somebody you work with. If you have a friend, you need to say, thank you, Lord, for that friend. For all the friends you have. And then the fourth and final thing to thank God for is to say, thank you, Lord, for all the other blessings you have sprinkled along my pathway. Just like food on the table and clothes you can wear, a house you can live in and be comfortable and sheltered from the weather and the forces of nature, and a car that makes it convenient for you to get from over here to over there. I mean, money in your billfold, maybe, that if you need to go get some ice cream, you go get it. You know, the little things, as we call them, but when you put them all together, oh, there are so many blessings. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift you have, every perfect gift you enjoy, is all the bounty of a merciful, gracious, loving God and Heavenly Father who has sprinkled them upon your life and mine. And I dare say this, if we could think of all the blessings God's given, Thanksgiving Day wouldn't be long enough to say thank you, Lord, for all of those blessings. You remember that when Jesus taught us how to pray in the model prayer in Matthew 6, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Think of that. There are people hungry. There are people starving in this world. If you've got food that you have to eat this morning, you could eat it and derive strength of it and start the day, and you'll go home in a little while, you'll eat again. You know, that's a blessing. When we gather around the table on Thanksgiving Day, the bounty of the food that's there, to just say, thank you, Lord, thank you for it all, for all of your blessings upon us. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, having said all that, I want to close my sermon. Just a little conclusion, a few thoughts. Did you notice my title? Did you really hear and pay attention to it? Thank you, Lord. That's what I want to close by talking to you about, those three words. Confession of mine that many times for most of my life, when something good happened, I would say these words, perhaps you said them too, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for this blessing. Thank the Lord for that blessing. Thank the Lord for this blessing over here. And what I, in my heart, meant by that was that this is something for which I am thankful to God. But the title of my sermon is different. It's not to say I am thankful to the Lord for this, but thank you, Lord, is to go directly to Him. When the blessing is received, when it's given and you receive it and you enjoy it, that you say in your heart, if not audibly, in your heart and in your mind, thank you, Lord. I heard a man who frequently said that. Thank you, Lord. And it had come along with blessings. It didn't matter who was there. Thank you, Lord. And it dawned on me one day, that man's, he got a better plan than I got. I just told him about thanking. But whenever you just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've given us. I thank you for this blessing. I thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for a Savior. Thank you, Lord, for my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for my husband or wife, my children, grandchildren. Thank you, Lord, for my friends. Thank you for all these little daily blessings, the food, the clothes, and everything else. Just when you recognize the blessing, and I've been gearing myself to doing that, not to just ride along on the lawnmower and I realize I almost didn't stop to say, thank you, Lord. He doesn't want to mean the fact that I didn't hit it or whatever, you know. Or kick my deck on a tree and spin myself around. Thank you, Lord. I just want to encourage you. This Thanksgiving Day and every day, it shouldn't just be on Thanksgiving Day. Every day ought to be a Thanksgiving Day. And I encourage you to also train yourself that when the Lord sends a blessing, or when you see that He has sent a blessing, just turn your heart to Him. Say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. And let's do it with a loving and grateful heart to a loving and gracious God and Father. It's my humble prayer.